coming up weeks, meaning Shmos Vayira, Bo, B'Shalach, Yisro, B'Shvatim, and in this year specifically during leap years, Shulam T'Shavah, they're called Shovvim and Shovvim Tat. They're called that way because, aside from the fact that it's a cute acronym with the Rosh Yeshivas involved, there is a specific thing that we have to do during these weeks. And it goes a little bit beyond the Pashut idea that people get from it of what we're supposed to do. So we're going to try to go a little bit further into it. After Adam and Chava sin, this is talking after the very first chait done by Adam and Chava, they separated for 130 years altogether. It was 130 years of separation. During that time, up until Adam was together with Shace, Adam was together with Lilin and Shaden, or whatever you want to call it, and had what is known as Shechva Zera Levatala. Okay, that Shechva Zera Levatala allowed for Shaden to be created, for Tuma to be brought into the world, and more specifically, for Tuma to be spread throughout the entire world. Nitzotzos HaKedushim, which means sparks of Kedusha that Adam was comprised of, that Adam, we understand, was comprised of everything, that every bit of Kedusha in the world was within him. All that Kedusha was then separated. It is thrown to all different parts of the globe, to which in order to get them back, to bring back that Kedusha, to bring about the Geula, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was all the Kedusha together as one, in the Makom HaKadosh, in the Beis HaMikdash, where everything should be, and for the Kedusha to go out from there, rather than for everything to sort of come in, for that to happen, Gedolim has spent generations trying to bring about that Kedusha and somehow try to find it back. Whenever you see in the Gemara, Shakli V'Ozli, the Ben Yishchai says this was what they were doing. Shakli V'Ozli, that they were taking as they were going. They were literally grabbing Kedusha as they were going around. Whenever you see the Gemara says that they stared at them and they turned them into a Gal Shalat Samos, a pile of bones, pile of dust. This is also the process of grabbing about that Kedusha. Whenever you see the little lines that are mentioned in the Gemara of where Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro, I will never see you again, Lo Ra'os Panai, you won't see my face ever again. It's the same basic concept of all of this concept of Kedusha being taken in by the Gedolim, by the Tzadikim, being allowed to come to our side instead of being on the other side over there. See, that was the chelak, and the concept of galus, that those chalakim, those parts of Adam HaRishon that were thrown out to all the different various parts of the globe, when they were thrown out there, we were supposed to be in galus in order to bring it back. Now, Yosef HaTzadik was the most successful out of any person that has ever existed to bring that Kedusha back. He was able, through the Rav that was in Mitzrayim, and you can use the Rav in a Hasidish term, it would be more like the Rav was not a literal hunger, but rather a starvation for Kedusha, something like that, that Yosef HaTzadik was able to sit in Mitzrayim and have the coins, all the money being brought to him. And as the money was being brought to him, he was able to bring the Kedusha of every person. Chazal say that he concentrated so hard, says the Medrash. He made the people come up to him and give the coins in his hands, put the coins in his hand. One of the Pirushim in the Midrash, why he wanted to do that is to eventually find the Shvatim. If everybody's paying him, eventually the Shvatim aren't going to come in, and he'll find the Shvatim paying him with their own hands. That's one way of looking at it. But there's another way, and this is it, that Yosef HaTzadik wanted to see every person, every nation out there, grab the Kedusha from them, place it on the coins, and thus have all these coins there. When Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they went out with the Kedusha of the world, a perfect world, so to speak, Adam Rishon being for the chait, which is why by the times of Kriyas HaTorah, of Matan Torah, it took them 50 days to get up to that level, but they were able to reach the level of Adam before the chait. That's where it was. The Egel HaZov, which happened 40 days later, knocked them down, destroyed that Kedusha, brought it out to all four corners of the globe again, to which eventually Bnei Yisrael would have to go out and do what Yosef did, bring it all back in, or go out to all the four reaches of the globe in order to grab it, get it there, and then bring it back. That's the concept. The reason why we do this now, and why Shovvim is so important now, why that Kedusha has an availability for us to grab it back now, is because what happened in these parshas. See, Bnei Yisrael were in the time, as we all know, for 210 years. 80 years was when Moshe Rabbeinu was alive. Moshe Rabbeinu was there. The first 130 years of that galus were supposed to be a tikkun for the 130 years where Adam had separated from Chava, before he had Shitz. The 130 before Moshe was the 130 of that time. When it says, Paru, Vayishritzu, Vayirbu, Vayatzmu, Bimod, Maod, when it said they had so much true reguv. The point of it was is that they didn't have shikvat zera levatala. That any zera that they had didn't go to waste. And thus there were tons and tons of children being born, meaning the children were being born from that. This was a tikkun for all the previous generations. The Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaSodom, Dor HaPlaga, even within the sheep of Yaakov Avinu, which also propagated very, very much so during those years, that there were so many of them. This is all a concept of what they were doing. Bnei Yisrael worked with Chomer Ubilvanim. With Chomer and Levanim, what it means is that we're trying to create a brand new building of Klal Yisrael, a brand new building literally of the whole world, where there would be a complete tikkun, the ability to get everything back and to eventually go to Matan Torah, and that would be the idea behind it, to conquer all of their types of gufnios. There's no better place to do that than a place which was filled with the riots, filled with Zera Levatala, which was the area of Mitzrayim, which so well known as that. See, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be the leader, because Moshe Rabbeinu was the man, the epitome of zero tolerance for Taiva Gufnios. He went 40 days and 40 nights without food and drink on Har Sinai. He went the rest of his life without being together with his wife. 40 years he went without Sifora. As Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should go back to their tents. Shvula kam ba'o aleichem be'atah, but you Moshe Rabbeinu po'a modi mazi. He defined being able to curb and hold back on your taivas. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu defined, and he was the perfect one to allow us to do what we needed to do in Mitzrayim. And that was the tikkun that culminated in Har Sinai, which eventually brought the Egel Azov, which eventually we lost. Now, this is the time then when Moshe Rabbeinu comes about with zero tolerance, when Bnei Yisrael were working their hardest to get rid of these taivas, where they didn't have time to give in to their taivas. This time of Shmos, Va'era, Bo, Vishalach, Yisro, Mishpatim, some say Shumat Tzavah, notice, it's all the parshios up until Kisisa, because Kisisa is the Parshas the ego. The Parshas up until there, the kash of Truma Tetzava is whether Truma Tetzava comes after the ego or before the ego, and that's the reason why Tat is sometimes yes, sometimes no. The idea is that this is the time when you can grow regarding this, in this aspect, regarding Ruchnius and being Metakin what we need to be Metakin. The Zman is a Zman of Tikkun. It's a Zman known as a time of Tikkun. At a time when, I say it in a very blunt way, where there's more tznius in the world. That in most places it is colder. I know it's not like that in South Africa, which is yet another reason why the southern hemisphere is all messed up. But in most places it's colder, which means people are covered up a little bit more, which allows for typhus to be controlled a little bit better than how it is during the summer. That allows for something right there. But aside from that, to get into this whole lineage, to understand what it is, we have to understand what Shikvat Zera Levatala is in the first place. Now, I realize that some people here are married. And when you're dealing with married people versus unmarried people, there's a major difference. Obviously, there's a major difference between the two. Nonetheless, there's a point that could be made even for people that are married, and it will be made. Evan Azar, Simen Chaf Gimel, Shulchan Aruch Evan Azar, Simen Chaf Gimel, says, quotes regarding Shikvat Zera Levatala, that this is a terrible hate that puts you in needly, somewhat excommunication. You are considered a rotseach, a murderer, for doing so, as you're killing your own children. It's better, according to the Shulchan Aruch, to have your arm cut off than to be over on this avera. That's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes, and that's that. But you have to understand something. And I've heard I've had many trainings on this. Unfortunately, or fortunately, for the position that I'm in, this is what is needed nowadays. From Rabbi Dr. Jerry Loeb and Dr. Krohn and Dr. Lowe, and from all the different people that are out there that are in the know, we'll include in that Rabbi Zev Cohn and Rabbi First. You have to understand something that's a little bit more in this. The one that's in charge, the demon, so to speak, that's in charge of Shikvat Zera Levatala, the one that caused it to be, is a lady by the name of Lily. We don't say her full name, there's a sup at the end of it, but she is the one who's supposed to be in charge of it all. Her name, Lily, comes from the word Yalala, which means to be sad, to groan, to be upset. So you have to understand something. The chait is a terrible chait. We understand that. It's a terrible chait to the point where it's better to cut off your arm than to go ahead and do it. Obviously, that's a terrible chait. You're considered a rotzeach. Obviously, it's a terrible chait. But especially in our world, we have to understand that worse than the chait is the depression that stems from the chait. Meaning, the destruction, the self-destruction that a person puts himself in, the self-perpetuating destruction that comes from this chait, is much worse than anything that the chait could ever cause. See, to be over on the chait, whether willingly or not willingly, even if it happens when a person's sleeping and he doesn't realize and he doesn't have it, whether it's willingly or not, no matter what happens, at the end of the day, if a person's able to get over it and say, I can be misgaber over this, I'll make sure it doesn't happen again, I'm going to try my absolute hardest to watch what I'm going to be watching, to make sure that I don't see things, to make sure that my thoughts are clear, I'm going to try my absolute hardest. That's a positive reinforcement. That's something you can do after a thing like this happens. But to go ahead and say, oh, I can't do this, that's exactly what Lily wants. She's not all about making the chait happen. She's about changing your attitude into an attitude of, I will never do anything ever again. I will never be able to survive. I won't be able to do anything. I can't get up for chakras. I can't go to Seder. I can't go to Mincha. Forget it. I can't do anything because the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want to listen to my prayers. My Torah isn't worth anything. I really got to go to the mikvah all day long. If a person has that mentality and the thought process is, well, what am I doing anyway? And the depression that comes from it, it's exactly what we don't want. It's exactly what she wants by having this sin out there. It's a sin that's filled with depression. It's the cure, so to speak, not a permanent, but a temporary cure of depression, where if a person has that feeling, this is a release of pent-up energy, a release that allows you to think a little bit clearer, so to speak, just for the time being. That's the idea. The depression can totally destroy you if misused or overabused or anything like that. See, the urge comes when you feel defenseless. Sometimes while sleeping, when you're in a terrible mood and you can't get over it, that's where the urge comes in. Says many of the people today, and this is something that we have to take in context, that it's a healthy part of growing up. And to be honest, when you're getting married at the age of 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, as you were 200 years ago, it makes sense that this wasn't as big of a chait as it is now when you're getting married at 21, 22, 23, 24, or up. When you're getting married that old, of course this is a major issue. Of course. And in a world where we live in, where everything is right there in your face, where tznius is never talked about, where you could see anything you want at any time, and worse now, obviously we know the pitfalls of what the internet could do wherever it is, it's a different type of a world. It's almost like you need it. It's almost like it's needed and impossible to get away from. But that can't be. But you have to know one thing, and this is without a question. According to everyone, according to every study, according to everything that I've seen, and this could be wrong, but this is everything that I've seen, this is a way more addicting disease than anything else in the world. Way more than any type of drug. Way more than any type of drinking. There's nothing that compares. This is something that hits people to the point where, and I know people like this, I speak to people all the time like this, who cannot get up out of bed before doing something in the morning. They can't get through lunch without doing something. They can't go to sleep before doing something. And that doesn't include the other times of the day where they feel like they have to do something. This is common. This is not just stop once in a per, you know, you see one every 20 people like this. In the other world, meaning not in the walls of the base measures, if we're dealing with the other world out there, on a college campus or in any high school, throughout the entire world, it is commonplace, normal, healthy, to where doctors tell you you should be going ahead and doing this. They prefer that you do this to get rid of your pent-up energies. It is an addiction, an absolute addiction. And we're not even dealing with the histakos aspects of the pornography aspects that come along with it. I'm just talking about the zerulavatola itself, how bad it becomes. It's a world out there which is almost impossible to overcome. So what do we do? What is there possible for anyone here to get over something that could happen in your sleep without even thinking about it? Something that you might do on your own without even realizing how many times that it happens to you. What can a person do to be over on these types of things? So I have 13 etzos. 13 etzos that we have and that we can use in order to help ourselves out and to make it a little bit better. Number one, Kriya Shema Lamita. If you don't say Kriya Shema Lamita, I will tell you right now, it will be impossible for you to when you get married. Absolutely impossible. Kriyat Shema LaMitzvah is the most impossible mitzvah. Once a person is married and a wife wants to say something before you go to sleep, there's no way that you can answer her with mm-hmm or mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do. If you want to talk beforehand, but you have no idea when, if she's already asleep, you could be Mekayim Kriyat Shema LaMitzvah very well. But to be Mekayim Kriyat Shema LaMitzvah is a very, very hard mitzvah. To do this now, to start it off now when you're a buffer, or now when you're still younger, is a huge thing to be able to continue it as time goes on. That's our number one. Number two, we know about the mikvah. But the other thing to that is a shower for 10 minutes. Now, I do suggest that everyone here is showering. That's without a question. That should be there. To shower for in a normal water flow of 10 minutes also takes away a bit of the tumah. That's called 9 kavin. Here it might be 35 minutes. I don't know. It depends on the water pressure. But it could be something like that. But 9 kavin, a shower for 10 minutes normally is enough to be able to put it down, to be able to knock that down as well. Number 3, tzedakah to aniyim, specifically to poor people, which means you're giving money to a poor person, you're saving their life. That saves the life that you were able to destroy, so to speak. Number 4, work on your taivas achila. On your taivas achila. There's a reason why the Maral mentions it in many different places. You have 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, but you only have 1 mouth. Says the Maral, is connected to another mouth. And that mouth is down there. And the peh ha'amo, as it's called, is connected with the peh used for achila. And that if you eat correctly, you eat without taiva, if you eat just the normal amount and you don't overeat or eat only taivadika foods or anything like that, you will be able to control the taivas down there. You have the ability to control it yourself with the way that you eat. The famous line from the Taz went to check out Shabtai Tzvi, the famous false messiah. And he told his Talmidim, when they were checking out the Shabtai Tzvi to see if he was real or fake, he told them, watch him eat. Look how he eats. If he eats like a Talmid Chacham, he's a Talmid Chacham. And if he eats like an Apikoros, then he's an Apikoros. And there's a way of eating. There's a way of shoveling the food into your mouth. Or there's a way of calmly eating your food in a normal manner. And the way of, so to speak, putting your head to the soup spoon or bringing the soup spoon to you. There's a difference between those. And when a person can control taivas, knows he can eat this, but he's not eating that. And even, it doesn't even have to be something, we'll talk about the raivit soon, but taivas, just to understand how to use them correctly. Number 5, this is a big one, and I know it's hard because we're all guys here. Crying. Crying. The tears that come out from your eyes. Doesn't have to be about this. Crying about anything has the ability to take away from the zera down there. The liquid that you have in your eyes has the ability to take away. Why is that so? You can make so many spiritual connections because the Einayim sees, and that's what allows you to have the taiva down there. So if you cry, you're, so to speak, taking away from the histakless issues that come from up there. That's the idea behind it. But it's a simple reason also. It's a simple reason. It's that if you're crying over this and you're thinking, I'm doing this in order to get rid of that taiva, that affects you. That allows something to be affected. So I know it's hard for us to cry. So go watch The Lion King in those 5 minutes where Mufasa dies. I mean, just do what you can to make sure that, you know, that you have it. I don't know, in the beginning of any Disney movie where the parents are dead. Just watch that for 3 minutes. Don't watch the whole thing. It's a big waste of time. But watch 3 minutes where somebody is dying. You have the ability to get yourself over. That'll get you. Number 6. This doesn't work all year. I mean, it does work all year long. You just don't get it very often. Baking matzahs. Baking matzahs is supposed to be a tremendous tikkun. Not only the exertion, which is obvious, because then you could just bake any bread. I mean, that's there. I mean, I've been told that baking bread is very exerting. I don't know, personally. But baking matzahs, and specifically matzos mitzvah, is a tremendous amount. There's a kiddush inside that goes. Number 7, kindness. The fasting that you do. Now, fasting, there are people that fast every day during Shavuot. Every day, and only eat at night. There are people that fast Mondays and Thursdays. there are people that fast half days instead of that. Now, I mean, do you know when Chatzos is? Chatzos is 11:52. It's not that hard. It's skipping breakfast and going to lunch a little bit early. That's all it is. You can even say Aneinu. If you accept it the day before at Mincha, the day before, then the next day, you can say Aneinu in your Mincha. If you daven at 12:30, well, you can daven Mincha, say Aneinu, and then go eat lunch. And you're fine. You're just skipping breakfast. Most of you do that anyway when you get up at 10. You're fine. I mean, it's a half kindness. But you have to accept it the day before. That's one. There's also a kindness Dibur. Again, Dibur is connected to what's going on down there. If you have a kindness Dibur and you stop yourself from saying extraneous words, even just the kindness Dibur during Seder, I'm not going to speak about anything but Torah during Seder. Halavai. If somebody does that, that also works, the kindness Dibur. And then there's the kindness of the rival, brought down the Rav Tzedek HaKohen. Rav Tzedek HaKohen says that if a person really wants to do Tavis Achila, you have something on your plate, and you have that final bite. We all know how you eat a cinnamon bun, right? Eat a cinnamon bun by eating all around it, and you save the middle for the very, very end. Eat a Reese's peanut butter cup, the normal people do. You eat all around it, and they have the tiny little bit at the very, very end. You take that middle piece, the best part of the cinnamon roll, the best part of a donut, the best part of a, well, the donut as a whole. But for everything else, you take the best part of all these things, and you leave it for the very, very end. You leave it for the end. That is a kindness. That counts. It's defeating your titles. That's the concept behind it. Number 8, Kivrei Tzadikim. Going to Kivrei Tzadikim and saying Tehillim, davening there, not to the mace, obviously, but davening there, going to Kivrei Tzadikim also helps tremendously. Number 9 is, if you can do it, Sandik et Abris, being a Sandik et Abris. If you're being chosen as Sandik et Abris, that's unbelievable. But you know how you can do it? I haven't done it yet, because I haven't yet had the gall to do it. Go to a bris in the suburbs. Go talk to a mole who's giving a bris in the suburbs, like Rabbi Karish, or to, it used to be Rabbi Kushner, he was the person to go to, but whoever it is that's giving a bris out in the suburbs, and ask him, can I come with you to be the Sandik? If they don't have any clue what's going on, they don't know anything about Sandikos, go be the Sandik for that baby. Number one, you might cause the baby to be a Baal Tshuva, right? Because you can sit down there and you put your kokos into the baby that allows the baby to be there. But that way you could be a Sandik. That also is a tikkun, a way of doing something. Number 10, not looking when you know you can. You know, nobody's going to look at a girl when they know they're looking at him. A girl will notice when your eyes are not looking at them, but rather everywhere else except for their eyes. But you, if you know you can, and nobody's going to see something, and you know something like that, especially when it comes to a computer or something like that, not looking, holding yourself back and saying, I'm not going to turn it on, I'm not going to do that. That's number 10. Number 11, Tehillim. If anybody wants these, you can come up to me afterward. There's a whole thing about Lily's name being connected with the word Tehillim and how they're connected in Gematria. It's really Halili altogether. Tet Zion, Lamed Beis, Mem Aleph, Mem Beis, Nun Tet, Ayin Zion, Tzadi, Kuf He, Kuf Lamed Zion, and Kuf Nun. Okay, you didn't have to memorize those, don't worry. But if you want to know what they are, those are the 10 that you're supposed to say specifically for this inyan in order to fix up this inyan itself. And the last one. The last one we have is learning Torah. And that's by far the best one to have. My Rashidi used to always say in this week's parsha, the Medrash, Vayamaru is Omar Mar. Vavodah Kasha with Kashas. Bechomer, bekal bechomer. Dovenim, beliban halacha. Ubeferech, beforech, bepirchos. That learning Gemara has the ability to take away from the avoda that they did in Mitzrayim. That had they been learning Torah, they didn't have the ability to. Had they been learning Torah, they no longer needed to have the avoda of Mitzrayim. In the future Geula, instead of having the avoda before the Geula, the servitude, we use a different method. We serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah learning, and if we learn it, and we mamish learn it, that has the ability to turn the entire world around. This is by far the best tikkun that a person can do. It's the first one mentioned by all the Sfarim. Any sefer that mentions any about Shikha Tzor Levatolo, they say, learning Torah with sweat, where you're glistening. And I know, Noach, it's in this base medrash. You're going ahead. If you're sweating in this base medrash and you're glistening, that is a tikkun. That's a tikkun. We shouldn't be opening up the windows. We should close everything in and like sit here with coats on, like big winter coats, and just sweat ourselves through. And that's a tikkun. That's a tikkun. But the last thing is, and you have to understand something, even if you feel that this is not for me, this is not for me, this is not, I don't have this issue. And maybe you don't. It's possible that you don't have the issue. Even if you feel that you don't have the issue, there are so many people that do. If you're not doing the tikkun for yourself, then do the tikkun for others. Shofim is not just a time for individuals in Klal Yisrael, personal requests and things that you yourself need to work on or could work on, etc. It's for everyone. For everyone. If you can't think of one person who might have this problem, I'd like to shake your hands because you don't know anyone. I'd like to meet you for the very first time. That's amazing. This is the idea. If you're not going to do it for yourself, then do it for others. I'm not telling you to fast. I'm not telling you to stay tailored necessarily. I am telling you to learn. That I'm for sure saying. Without a question, number 13 is automatic. That's automatic. The others, okay, you can do them if you want to in order to work on it. The showering thing also is automatic. Those two are out there. But those two are there. But you need to realize what kind of an issue it is and how to be able to do it in order to start off what these weeks are. We have two extra weeks this year. 8 weeks altogether. Let's make a tikkun in the world so that when Mashiach comes, today, tomorrow, whenever it is, we can say we're doing something specifically for this issue to bring back these types of things.